morning, everybody. You may be seated. It's good to be with you this morning. What I'm going to do, I'm going to take just about 5 minutes, just give a real quick update of the ministry. So if you turn to Psalm 126, we'll look at a couple of verses there in light of the ministry. And as you can tell, I sound a little different than you all. I don't know, maybe we'll sound like we're from Kentucky or from Australia when we all get to heaven. I don't know, but we're all going to sound the same, I reckon. Amen. But it's good to be a part of the family of God, amen, no matter what we sound like, right? Amen. Thank the Lord for your kindness to us and your faithfulness over the years. I believe the first time I was here was in 2008, and the last time I was here was about 2014. We were here at a missions conference with Brother Stinnett Ballou, and so that was going back a few years ago. So it's been 9 or 10 years since we've been here. Psalm 126, it says in verse 1, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen," notice this statement, "the Lord has done great things for them."
Amen.
And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when we can look on another Christian or on another church or on another ministry or another missionary and say, "Praise God, God's done great things for them."
Amen.
That encourages me when I can look on another brother or sister in the Lord and see God has done great things for them, because it might mean he might do great things for me one day if he's doing great things for them.
Amen.
But notice the next verse, it gets even better. "The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad." So I'm glad it says that God's done great things for them. And I'm glad I can say this morning, God's done great things for us.
Amen.
And when I say us, in light of the ministry, in light of missions, what I mean is not necessarily God's just done great things for us as a family or for us as a ministry in Australia, but God's done great things for us, Island Ford Baptist Church,
amen,
and us included, because you got a part in that ministry. And although you're not there and you don't see it and you don't witness it, I'm glad that I can report that God's done great things for us,
amen,
whereof we are glad. And so I thank the Lord for that and what God has done over the last 8 or 9 years in Australia.
Amen.
And we've been able to... In a nutshell, and if you have any questions or anything like that in regards to the ministry, feel free to ask me in between services and later on. But in a nutshell, in 2014, the Lord opened a door for us to go to a place called Caloundra in the state of Queensland. And there was a small church that had been started by another missionary by the name of Sunshine Baptist Church. And that church had been started in 1987. But they were without leadership, they were small in number, under heavy debt, and they were in a really difficult place. And my burden for that ministry was not to see the light go out, but that the light would continue to shine, and I had a burden to re-establish that work. And I can say that God has done that, and they're healthy, they're strong, God's added to the congregation there and the ministry there. They're debt-free, we've been able to completely renovate the place, and got a good strong membership there now, and there's a photo of the church family on the board back there, and God's done amazing things there in saving lost souls, encouraging discouraged saints and all those things. So, and there's an awful lot that could be said in amongst all that, but God's done great things there.
Amen.
Along with that, we also evangelised a 1,000-mile highway out through the state of Queensland. The state of Queensland's 2.5 times the size of Texas, and we evangelised that 1,000-mile highway. We had a 20-foot shipping container arrive from America full of gospel literature in 2015. And then from 2015 until June last year, we emptied that shipping container of gospel literature, just biting off a little more of the highway each year, going out, distributing gospel packages, holding gospel meetings. And the encouraging thing about that was I didn't do that as the Highland family didn't do that, but Sunshine Baptist Church got a burden for that ministry, and they got involved in that. But then what happened after that was about six other independent Baptist churches in Australia noticed what we were doing and wanted to get involved, and they came out and helped as well. And so there was sometimes, a couple of those years, we had 90 people come out and involved in that. And so that was a real blessing from, you know, half a dozen other churches. And it was a blessing to be involved in that ministry. And we got to the end of that 1,000 miles in June last year. I handed the ministry over there at Sunshine to Brother Neil Smith. And he's there pastoring there at the moment. And they're praying and working through the process, whether he'll stay on there, and he's praying about that, or whether they'll look for somebody else, another national. So they're working through that process. So you be in prayer for Sunshine Baptist Church and Brother Neil Smith and the folks there as they work through that process as this year closes out. So appreciate you praying for them. We got in on furlough on Christmas Day. We got in. And we've been in on furlough visiting our supporting churches since then. And it's been a blessed time, been an encouraging time. Amen. It's always good to get back and just say thank you to the churches that have supported us financially and in prayer. So let me say thank you for your kindness. And also let me say thank you on behalf of my mother-in-law, Miss Sandra McClure. You're still supporting her and helping her. And she expresses her gratitude and her thanks as well. And I appreciate that as her son-in-law. I just thank you for your kindness to her. That's a great blessing. And so we're in on furlough. We'll be in for another few months yet as we visit our churches. And I'd ask you to pray specifically that God would just give us real clarity in direction as to what he'd have us do next. It's not a matter of finding a need in Australia, just like America, there's needs everywhere. It's not a matter of I can't find somewhere I need to be. There's needs everywhere. But it's I want to be at the right place.
That's right.
With the right people.
Yep.
At the right time, doing the right thing.
Yes, sir.
And I just need the Lord to show me that, and I suspect he'll show me when I need to know.
Amen.
And so I'd like to know right now, because I like to have my ducks in a row and like to know where I'm going and when. I just the only answer I can give is I got no clear direction yet. So please continue to pray about that, if you would, please. All right, Amos chapter 4 is where we'll be this morning. Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 4. Well-known text, a well-known passage of Scripture that we're going to read this morning and preach on this thought in the few minutes we have left. Yes, sir. Thank you. That's dangerous to say don't worry about the time, but I did go back to my room in between Sunday school and the morning service, and there was a good smell wafting down the hallway there, and so lunch is smelling pretty good, so I got reason not to linger too long in here. So we can go linger out there. So, all right, Amos chapter 4. And if you don't mind, if you're able to with any ease, we'll stand in reverence to the word of the Lord this morning. Amos chapter 4. And we'll start our reading in verse 10. I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up under your nostrils. Notice this statement. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. That sounds like humans, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
We're just a stubborn bunch. And, you know, the Lord often chastens us, and we don't respond straight away.
Right.
Verse 11, I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Notice verse 12. Therefore, in light of that, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. We always need to be reminded of what the Lord may do. And the Lord's always going to do.
Yes,
He's going to respond either in a negative or in a positive response to our choices and our behavior. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind. Notice this God that we serve. Lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I'd like to draw your attention to the last statement in verse 12. Prepare to meet thy God. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on our time together. My Lord, I need thy help this morning. I confess I cannot do anything without thee. Oh Lord, how I pray for your enabling power. And Lord, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may the Holy Ghost have liberty to convict and draw. And Lord, we ask that your perfect will be accomplished. Have your will and way. Honor and glorify yourself and magnify Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. We're confronted with the most solemn statement in this passage. And the statement is, prepare to meet thy God. This is not a question. It's a statement and it's a warning. Prepare to meet thy God. That word prepare, let me define that word prepare. It means to qualify for a particular purpose. It means to make ready. It means to put things in suitable order. Right. We got up this morning, and unless you're some kind of special human being, when you got up this morning and looked in the mirror, you were nothing but a hot mess. Everything was everywhere, right? That's just the way it is. Sleep can be rough sometimes. But what happened was we took a little bit of time to put things in suitable order to come to church. What you did was you got up early enough, hopefully, to prepare to come to church. And we took some time to make ready. And the warning here is for each and every one of us to put things in suitable order in order to meet God. Amen. I want you to notice by way of introduction three things that we can learn from this statement, prepare to meet thy God. Number one, he's your God whether you acknowledge him to be so or not. It just says prepare to meet thy God. So we can learn that he is God and he is your God whether you acknowledge him to be your God or not. Have a listen to this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Yes. He's God, amen. And he's your God, whether you acknowledge him to be your God or not. The second thing we can learn from this statement, prepare to meet thy God, is you're going to meet him, whether you want to or not. It's not a question, it's a statement. Prepare to meet thy God. So we can learn not only he is God, whether I acknowledge him to be so or not, and there's countless millions around this world, in America, in Australia, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, that do not acknowledge him to be God. But he's God nonetheless.
That's right.
And they're going to meet him.
That's right.
Whether they want to or not.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to meet him, whether you want to or not. There's many meetings that you can cancel. You can cancel your doctor appointment.
Yep.
You can cancel your lawyer's appointment. You can cancel all kind of appointments and meetings. But you're not going to cancel this meeting.
Right.
You'll meet God whether you want to meet him or not.
Amen.
The third thing we can learn from this statement, prepare to meet thy God, is we've been fairly warned of the coming meeting.
That's right.
It's a fair warning.
Good.
I don't like meetings sprung on me. I just don't like that, particularly some meetings.
Yes,
I like to have preparation. I like to be able to calm my mind. I like to be able to have time to calm my spirit and prepare for a coming meeting. I don't like surprises. I like to know what's going on when and be out. And I'm glad that 23 years ago I was warned of this coming meeting.
Amen.
And I made preparation for meeting God. I'm thankful for that. So in light of this coming meeting, what we ought to do is you ought to ask yourselves these questions. Whether you're lost or saved, you ought to ask yourselves these questions. There's a meeting coming. I'm going to meet God. What's expected of me at the meeting? You know, if I've got a meeting with the people of the church or with leadership or whatever or somebody, I need to stop and I ought to ask myself, okay, what's expected of me when we meet?
Right.
You can't get ready unless you know what's expected of you at the meeting. You go into the workplace and you're going to meet with the board or with leadership or whatever, or if you're in leadership and you're meeting with those under you, before you go into the meeting, you stop and you ask yourself, what's expected of me at this meeting? And you get yourself ready.
Right.
Then you ought to ask yourself, am I ready for the meeting?
Right.
You say, well, I'm saved. Well, praise God, I'm glad you're saved, but are you ready to meet God?
Amen.
You see, this message, the first portion, what I'm preaching this morning is mainly going to be the lost, and maybe we'll come back here tonight and preach the second half of the message. But this morning, if you're lost, you're not ready to meet God.
That's right.
So what you need to do is you need to ask yourself, what do I need to prepare? What do I need to do in order to prepare for the meeting?
Yeah.
What should I do? Okay, what's expected of me? Am I ready? No, I'm not. Okay, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
What things do I need to put in order to get ready for the meeting? And then you ought to ask yourself, how will the meeting go? I always like it when a meeting goes well, don't you?
Yes, sir.
There's been some meetings gone bad.
I'm
grateful there's been some meetings that have gone good.
Amen.
And when I consider the fact I'm going to meet God, I ought to ask myself, and you ought to ask yourself, I wonder how that meeting will go.
Amen.
In what condition will I be in when I meet God?
Right.
And I wish I could take you there this morning, and I'm doing the best I can in my inabilities. But I wish we could somehow, and I know we can't because of our minds and the bodies we're trapped in and all the rest, but I wish we could transport ourselves in our mind to that day when each and every one of us as individuals will stand before God.
Yes.
What a sobering thought. That you, as an individual, are going to meet God one day. I want to preach to you this morning, if you're lost particularly, this message is to you.
Amen.
Prepare to meet thy God. I want to say to you, to begin with, if you're lost this morning and you've never been saved, if you meet God in that unconverted state, if you meet God without being born again, if you meet God without having your sins forgiven, I need to warn you of the fact that you're going to meet God as an enemy.
That's right.
He's not Father Christmas waiting in heaven for you.
Nope.
If you've never been saved, if you've never been converted, you will meet God as an enemy.
Yes, sir.
Listen to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 and following. But now in Christ Jesus, it's in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
Amen.
If you have not been saved, if you are not in Christ and Christ is not in you, there is enmity between you and God. There is troubled waters between you and God. There is strife this morning between you and God. And the only way there can be peace between you and God is if Christ steps in and reconciles you both. That's the only way. The only reason that me, Phil Hyland, this morning, in whatever day it is, I know it's Sunday and we're in the month of October still, I think. Sunday, October 2023, there is peace between me and my Maker. There's peace between me and God because of Jesus Christ and His work on the cross reconciling me to God. Thank God for that. There was no way that I could reconcile myself. And there is no way that you can reconcile yourself to God. The only one that can reconcile you is the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious sovereign work that He did at the cross of Calvary. Thank God for the cross. But if you meet Jesus in your lost state, unconverted, you'll meet Him as an enemy. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God."
That's right.
That doesn't mean if you're friendly to people in the world.
No.
We should be friendly to lost people.
Sure.
But that verse about being friendship to the world, that means you're living according to the world's system.
Right.
You're following the world's standards. You're living life in the world's mindset instead of living like a Christian. Psalm chapter 7 and verse 11 says, "God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day." And if you've not been saved, you've not been born again, you might not think you're wicked, but you are wicked. And I am wicked. The only reason there's peace is because of Jesus. God's angry with the wicked every day. I wasn't converted. I wasn't saved until I was 22 years of age. And to think back and to consider the fact that the God of heaven was angry with me for 22 years until Jesus stepped in and reconciled me to God. Thank God for that. You'll meet Him as an enemy. Would you turn with me here to this passage, John chapter 5. I'd like you to notice the call to the meeting. You see, you may, in this life, we all have a free will, and you may, in this life, ignore the voice of God. You may, in this life, resist the voice of God. You may, in this life, repress the voice of God. You may, in this life, stick your spiritual fingers in your ears so you can't hear the voice of God, and you can make noise and distraction to die out the voice of God. You can do that if you choose. You can ignore the voice of God. But let me say to you, there's coming a day when you'll hear the voice of God and you will respond to the voice of God. You see, you may sit in rebellion now, but there's a coming a day you will submit.
That's right.
And you will respond. Listen to this in John chapter 5, verse 28. What? Look at it. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." It's coming. It's on its way.
Yep.
"Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice." If you die lost, you'll end up in a grave. Your body will be in the grave, your soul will be in hell, but there's coming a day you'll hear the voice of God. You'll hear it again. You'll hear it. You'll hear His voice. Notice the next verse. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. If you die lost in your sin, your body will end up in a grave. Your soul will end up in hell. But there'll come a day. You'll hear the voice of God one day. You'll hear the voice way out there. And you'll hear the voice of God again. You won't repress that voice. You won't ignore that voice. You will respond to that voice. You shall come forth. Your body will come out of the grave. Your soul will come out of hell. And you'll be resurrected to stand before God. And you will meet God. But you will meet God as an enemy.
Yes.
you will meet God and there will be trouble between you and God.
Yes, sir.
You will meet God and there will be strife between you and God. I think about growing up, and I buried my father 3 years ago in October 2020. But I remember growing up, and if I knew I'd done the wrong thing, and I knew Dad, when he got home from work, I was going to meet Dad.
Yeah.
You understand that you will literally, physically, and spiritually meet God one day.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You as an individual, you'll meet God. You'll be called to the meeting. And you'll come to the meeting.
Yes.
You won't cancel that meeting.
Amen.
You won't procrastinate that. You will come. You shall come forth.
Yes.
I'd like you to notice the meeting place. Go into Revelation, if you would, please. The meeting place. You'll meet God. If you're lost this morning, you're going to meet Him. But you'll meet Him as an enemy. You'll meet Him. You'll be called to the meeting. You'll respond to the meeting. And you'll meet God at this place. It's called the Great White Throne of Judgment. Notice, if you would please, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw, John saw some things. And I saw a great white throne. And Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. What a verse.
Yes.
John saw a great white throne. And then he saw He that sat on that great white throne. And then he saw heaven and earth flee from the presence of He that sat upon that throne. What majesty.
Yes.
What authority.
Yep.
Who is going to sit upon that throne? Notice the next verse. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. John saw the dead. Every individual, every person that has lived on this earth, died in their sin, he saw everyone, small and great.
Yep.
Necessarily talking about how much you weighed or how tall you were. It's talking about little people, small people like you and me. We're nothing in light of the world. I mean, who are we?
Right.
No one knows you. No one knows me. We're little people. We're the small people. But then there's the great as well. There's the kings, there's the rulers, there's the politicians, there's those in authority around. There's the small and the great. And John saw them all.
Yes, he did.
I wonder if he saw you.
Yep.
Did John see you? Oh, thank God he didn't see me.
Amen.
He'd have looked in vain looking for me. I wasn't there when John looked. Praise
Amen.
God. And if you're saved, he didn't see you.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, no. This is just those that are lost.
Yeah.
Is who John saw. Let's read on. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13 is what we read in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Notice verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You'll meet God one day.
Yes.
You'll meet Him as an enemy. You'll be called to the meeting. You'll respond to the meeting.
Yep.
and you'll stand at the meeting place, the great white throne, and you, as an individual, naked and open before God, you shall stand. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are open, are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There will be nothing hid from God in that day. That you will be fully exposed in that day. There will be no hypocrisy in that day. There will be no games played in that day. You may have your husband fooled. You may have your wife fooled. You may have your parents fooled. You may have your preacher fooled. You may have the community fooled. But you will not have God fooled in that day.
Absolutely.
Amen. I wouldn't want to stand naked and open before God in that day. And our only hope, and our only hope not to stand before God in that naked, exposed state is to be robed in the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you can't do enough good. You can't clothe yourself in enough ways. Your only way to be covered from that day is to be robed in the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that as I stand here this morning at Island Ford Baptist Church, God looks upon me. Thank God he doesn't see my filth and my unrighteousness. He looks beyond that, and thank the Lord he sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Praise God. And if you're saved this morning, that's how he sees you.
That's right.
I want to say to you that if you're lost and you meet God in this lost state, it'll be a meeting of the judge and the guilty. It'll be a meeting of the righteous and the rebel.
Yep.
It'll be a meeting of darkness and light. And it'll be a meeting of God and the sinner. You will hear, according to Matthew 25 and verse 41, you will hear these words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You will be bound hand and foot, and you will, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
That's
aggressive. God's not going to gently place you in the lake of fire. God is going to throw you in the lake of fire. You say, well, I don't believe the God of the Bible. He's a loving God, and he's an understanding God, and I just don't believe he's going to treat people that way. If you reject the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you reject what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary, you will reap what you've sown, and you will reap the wrath of God for all eternity. Oh, in love, in everlasting love, in infinite love, God has provided a way of escape for you.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you reject that, you will experience the undiluted wrath of God for all eternity.
Yep.
But as I close this morning, let me make these statements. Our text says, prepare to meet thy God. You're going to meet him. But you don't have to meet him in that condition.
Amen.
You don't have to meet him like that. You know, you can make preparation.
Amen.
You can do some things to prepare in order to avoid such a meeting. You can do some things to prepare to avoid meeting God as an enemy. There can be reconciliation between you and God. There can be peace between you and the very one that made you.
Yeah.
Isn't that one?
Yeah.
That's the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful news?
Yeah.
That wherever you go in the world, you can talk to sinners, no matter what they sound like, no matter what language they speak, you can say to them, there's strife between you and God right now, but there's a message, and it's called the gospel, and what that means is there can be peace between you and God. That's the gospel message. That's what we take as a preacher, and that's what you take as a Christian to your workplace. The gospel of the peace of God. Praise God for the everlasting gospel. So what do you need to do in order to make preparation? Let me give you four things. Number one, you need to hear the gospel.
Sure.
And let me say this to you. And I know you understand my spirit when I say this, hopefully. Being born in America and being born in the south of America, you are afforded a very unusual privilege.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes.
There's about 95, give or take, independent Baptist churches in Australia. There's probably more than that in this county. Who knows? There's more than that in the state of Kentucky. I know that.
Yeah.
You have every opportunity to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
But do you understand that there's millions? I mean, I think we're heading close to 8 billion souls on earth.
Right. Yeah.
There are billions of people that have never heard of the name of Jesus. Don't take lightly the privilege that you have to live in America, to live in the south of America, and even know the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And have the opportunity to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
I believe hell's going to be hotter for a lot of people in America that have had the privilege and the opportunity to hear the gospel and have rejected the gospel than heathens in the mountains of Papua New Guinea that have never heard the name of Jesus and die lost in their sin.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You need to hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you've lived in the south of America and if you want to hear the gospel, you can hear the gospel.
Right.
All you got to do is turn the radio on.
Yep.
What we're going to do is drive down the interstate and the gospel's on the billboards.
Right.
The gospel. You need to hear the gospel, but then you need to believe the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of people, and there may be someone here this morning. You've heard the gospel and you may have grown up hearing the gospel, but just hearing the gospel is not what saves you and brings reconciliation.
Right.
You need to hear the gospel, but then you need to believe on the gospel.
Amen.
You need to believe what God said about you. You need to believe what God said about hell. You need to believe what God said about your sin. You need to believe what God said about Jesus. You need to believe what God said about forgiveness and repentance and faith. You need to believe. You need to believe. And it's not just a intellectual assent to some facts, but it's a heartfelt, life-changing belief. It's faith. Faith. Mark 1 verse 15 says, in saying the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel.
Amen.
Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out.
Amen.
And this was emphasized in Sunday school and I wholeheartedly agree. I don't believe you can separate repentance and faith. You try and separate those two doctrines. You try and separate those two virtues. You do damage to them both.
That's right.
They don't need to be. They're not enemies that need to be reconciled.
Amen.
They're friends that need to be left alone.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
What they are. You need to believe the gospel. You need to obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a young lady years ago in Australia in the church I was saved in. I hadn't not long been saved. And a young lady, she was in her late teens and the Lord had been dealing with her. And my wife, Leanne, who she was my wife at that stage, I don't think we were married then. She was there in the service. And this young lady, she was troubled and she She walked outside and she sat on the steps towards the end of the service, and she sat out there crying and she was weeping, and Leanne spoke to her and said, "What's your trouble and can I help you?" And she said, "Well, I know I need to be saved, but I want what the world has too." And Leanne said to her, "Well, you've got to make a choice. You can't have both."
That's right.
Amen.
And you know what she did? And this still troubles my wife when she thinks about it to this day. That young lady, and I could say her name. That young lady, she sat there for a few minutes. She took a deep breath. Tears dried up. She said, "I made my decision." She never did come back. She never did obey the gospel. You need to humble yourself. You just need to obey God.
Amen.
Here's what it means to obey God. And this kind of offends me even when I say it. Do as you're told.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't like being told what to do. And you don't like being told what to do. But if you're ever going to be saved by the good grace of God, you're just going to have to do what God told you to do.
That's right. Amen.
And that takes humility. And then the last thing you need to do is you need to call on the Lord of the gospel. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
Bartimaeus experienced the truth of that.
Yes, he did.
Blind Bartimaeus, he called on the Lord and the Lord saved him.
Amen.
The maniac of Gadara, he experienced the truth of that gospel. He heard the name, he called on the name of the Lord and the Lord saved him.
Amen.
The woman at the well, she met Jesus.
Amen.
And she called on Jesus and Jesus saved her.
Amen.
And I'm saying to you this morning that 23 years ago, I heard the gospel, I obeyed the gospel, I believed the gospel, and I called on the Lord of the gospel, and he heard me, and he responded to me, and he saved my soul.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that today.
Yes.
God saved me because I heard the gospel, I believed the gospel, I obeyed the gospel, I called on the Lord of the gospel, and then the Lord of the gospel responded to my prayer and saved my soul.
Amen.
And if you're saved this morning, God did the same thing for you. It's not anything I did. I'm not saved because I did A, B, C, and D. I'm saved because Jesus did everything.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to close with this verse. It's, I think, perhaps my favorite verse in the Bible. Job chapter 22 and verse 21. "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." And I'm glad that I acquainted myself with God.
Amen.
There's a difference between knowing God and being acquainted with God.
Yeah.
If Queen Elizabeth were to walk in, and we all know who Queen Elizabeth is, right? Queen of England. She died not long ago. I know Queen Elizabeth. I'd pick her out of a lineup. If she was walking down the street, I'd know who she was.
Right.
I know the Queen.
Yep.
And you could probably name the Queen. I've never been acquainted with her. I grew up knowing about God. I know who God is. Yeah, I believe God made everything. But it wasn't until I heard the gospel and the Holy Ghost of God convicted me and troubled me, and I surrendered to that voice of the Holy Spirit and that wooing of the Holy Ghost, and I called on the Lord. I met God and I acquainted myself personally with Him.
Amen.
Thereby good came unto me. Oh, and peace. Praise God.
Amen.
Are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? If you're not, you need to put things in suitable order.
Yep.
You need to prepare. Because He's your God, whether you acknowledge Him to be so or not. And you'll meet Him one day, whether you want to or not. Preacher, I hand over to you.